This week, we like to dedicate this episode of Falkirk Daft to a true Bairn, a lifelong supporter of Falkirk, who sadly passed away this week, Andy Arbuckle, at the age of 37. This one's for you, Andy.
Sean Mackey to strike! It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in! It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
It was a day of being undercover at the Falkirk Daft team as myself and Ross donned our fake moustaches, sunglasses and hats in the home end at Tynecastle. Unfortunately though, there was nowhere to hide after the 90 minutes when, as Falkirk went down 3-0 to the Jambos. Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am John McAnally and joined as ever the ginger god of pod himself. It is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Good evening. Yeah, it was an odd game.
It was, I'll be honest, yeah, it wasn't odd. It was a realisation. You know, I think that's the first game since being back that you've realised we are fucking miles off it. I mean, Hearts are obviously quite rightly at the top of the table, but you look at the possession stats, we had more possession, but you just looked at the touches they had in the final third, the shots they had. It was a wake-up call, I think. We were miles off it, miles off it. Obviously, we're going to get into the full game and talk through it, but it was just that way. God, it was a hard one. It was a hard one to watch, certainly sitting in amongst a bunch of Jambos as well.
So it was a tough afternoon. I think we've spoken about this on previous podcasts as well. I think our season's not defined playing Hearts at Tynecastle, right? Obviously, Hearts are top of the league by a couple of points as it stands. Were they winners yesterday? I go back to what we talk about all the time about the basics. If you don't defend well and you don't put a chance away when you get it, you won't do well. And yesterday was exactly that. Like, we didn't do the basics very well at all, with the exception of a few players who probably did get pass marks. It was a tough watch. I obviously, like you, we were in the lounges at Tynecastle before and after the game. Brilliant setup at Tynecastle, can't fault it. Really good setup, as you would expect. Yeah, it's just it's a sore one. And probably, as you said, apart from the Celtic defeat in the cup, this is probably the first sore game we've had in it.
I think so. I mean, it was, I did, like you say, I have to say, the hospitality at Tynecastle was excellent, especially because I had a free bar at it as well. So that was even better. But, you know, sitting amongst the supporters, and it obviously kind of came at the cause. The boys that were sitting at the table with it, and they were like, they were just very much in agreement. It's like we were on a different, their hearts are on a different level to Falkirk. But I mean, they quite enjoyed the way Falkirk played and what have you. But it was hard words to take after the 90 minutes. But I have to say, the food was exceptional. Falkirk could learn one or two things about how they do it over at Tynecastle. Obviously, the hospitality's council run, but see, the food was unbelievable. I had this lovely bit of fish with cheese sauce on it, and everything. It was bit of mash, it
Nice.
was well
Well,
presented, apple crumble and dessert for like a wee tart thing. Oh,
there you go.
beautiful.
That's nice. No, we were obviously in a different lounge too. We didn't have the complimentary bar. However, what I will say is it wasn't like excessive prices. I'm not even sure it was like Edinburgh pub prices. It was just like all right. And the food we had before the game was lovely as well. You actually had a few different options that you could have picked from, or you could have sampled all three, if you really wanted to. So no, I agree with you. It was top notch. It was I expected a decent level of hospitality, to be honest, just because it's Hearts. Tynecastle is a big stadium. They've got a lot of fans who probably go regularly as well. But really good. And obviously we all met up in after the game, didn't we? Firstly at Ryries and then Platform 5. Lovely to meet the wee Josh, who was the captain's armband winner yesterday at the game. I've got a wee story about that actually as well. Jessica, my eldest, was at a party last night, and she comes home quite late last night, and she says, "Oh, the wee boy Josh was ended up at this party because his cousin or something like that was at the party." Anyway, long story short, he was absolutely buzzing with it. He says he listens to Falkirk Daft all the time. He's only six, so we need to watch our language for now on Josh.
I know we better. I think it's going to be hard to watch our language on this episode, Ross. I'll be honest with you, but no, really nice meeting Josh. I went back at the Falkirk after the game. It was well behaved. Obviously, after departing you at Platform 5, we got the train back to Falkirk. Jumped off behind the log, wee cheeky Falkirk Daft venom, bit of pakora, bumped into the directors as they were getting off the train. I was getting onto the train to go to Larbert. Keith Gourlay, Stuart Adam, and Nigel Serafini jumped in there and was like, "Oh, all right, boys, see you later." And I actually bumped onto Jamie Swinney, our CEO, sat beside him in the train on the way to the game. So, try to get the inside scoop, but no, it was a good day out. It was a good day out. Just a shame about the football.
It was.
We'll talk
It
about
was.
just in a bit. Right, big news, Ross. Big news. Falkirk Daft Live is coming back to Behind the Wall Saturday, and we're doing it on a Saturday this time. We're doing it the night before the Rangers game at Ibrox, Saturday, November 29th, and it's going to be your Christmas night out. I know it's November, but Christmas starts earlier every year. But we're going to have our own Falkirk Daft Christmas night out on Saturday, November the 29th. Circle it in your diary, get it on the family planner. It's going to be a cracker.
Can't wait. We've not really had a theme before. Well, we have, I suppose. We had our promotion party and stuff, but this one's a really our first sort of theme thing. So yeah, it will be our Christmas night out, but for those who've been before, it's going to be the usual banter, the usual stuff. We'll have guests, loads of laughs, loads of
TBC,
sing songs,
TBC guests.
TBC with the guests. And I know we'll start to ramp up the Falkirk, the F factor again, because we'll have the final that night as well. So really looking forward to it. Behind the Wall is always a fantastic venue for our gigs. The place is jumping all the time. And what could be better just before the festive period? Or it kind of is, isn't it? Because that there's the Christmas night out for works. They start like mid-November now, don't they?
And tickets are going to go on sale this Friday at 9 a.m. If you want to come to Folk Daft Live, we'd love to have you along. The last few have been great. We've had a laugh. We've had a laugh,
We
and
have.
hopefully we can get make it continue that trend, because we've had great nights out at them.
The feedback from the last one, the feedback from the last one was that was the best one we'd done yet.
Oh, good day.
We had Yogi and Crawford there. It was brilliant.
Yogi and Crawford were brilliant, and then we obviously had Jamie on kind of
Jamie.
ahead of the season as well. So, more of the same. Got a few ideas up my sleeve, but we'll see what happens. But that's happening on November 29th, Saturday, November the 29th, at BTW. Get it in the diary and get your tickets bought 9 a.m. this Friday. We'll obviously have all the details on our socials, so keep an eye out for that. Before we get into sort of the club news, let's talk a wee bit about a game we didn't really get the chance to review, Ross. Let's do a quick 5 minutes on the Hibs game on Tuesday. Obviously, we put out the preview show on Thursday, but we recorded it last Sunday, so it was that weird way where we couldn't predict the future. It was again a really interesting game. I thought at one point when we were 2-0 down, I thought this could be anything.
That was my thought as well. And I was so glad We got the goal back when we did. And I think that made all the difference. Because the second half it was just all Falkirk, wasn't it? Like had started well, we started fairly brightly actually, and I think you heard David Gray, Babylon. Anyway, no, you heard him talking about. Sorry, you heard him talking on about how the fans had been like on top of their players. That it took them a bit of time to get used to the pitch and all that kind of stuff. So we did start fairly brightly,
Yeah, I think Ethan Williams
then
chanced at
obviously
the
sucker
start.
punched by a very odd VAR decision, which I still don't
Yeah.
agree with, to be honest, but.
I mean the obviously the VAR decision, it's yeah. I mean you see some of the other ones that don't get given. And I mean, again, what's Ethan Williams got to do with his hands? You know, I don't get it. I mean, a lot of Hibs supporters said they'd be raging if it was given against them as well. So fair play to Hibs in that respect, but no, it was. That's a penalty. Jesus Christ, what do we do in the game now? You know.
John, I'll ask you a question, right? I saw this on social media a couple of days ago. Say you lined up 10 referees or 10 assistant referees or whatever, right? And you smashed the ball away for them. Sorry, you went to smash the ball off them from a yard. How many of them would reactionary cover their, go to put their hands up to cover their face?
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
They would do, wouldn't they? They're not just going to sit there and take it.
Yeah.
So, no, but it was an awful, awful decision, in my opinion.
It was, but I mean, there was nothing. The second goal was just, again, just. I mean,
Mistakes, individual errors.
individual errors. Dylan Levitt's done really, really well to do what he did. Like, he turned about two or three guys. Faked them out and it was a good finish from him, to be fair. But yeah, we need to be better than that. We need to be a bit more street wise.
We do, and it was tough going 2-0 down. You thought, Christ, this is still a long way to go. But like the ball in from Ethan Williams was just absolutely phenomenal. Like the delivery on this boy, superb. And it was a fantastic ball in, and Ross McKeever does Ross McKeever things in the 6-yard box.
Yeah, 100%. Ethan Williams had a bit of a strange game. He wasn't great in parts, but then he set up two goals. So it like,
Exactly.
you know, it was. It, and I thought Henry Cartwright again was really good in that midfield. We'll talk about his
He
performance
was.
against Hearts in a bit, but I thought actually on Tuesday he was excellent again. Again, Brad Spencer and Calvin. I'm still waiting them to come up to the level almost that way. They just. I mean, I think again. I think teams have just figured out the Spencer. You know, he's getting marked out the game in parts. Calvin Miller, I
That
think.
is the issue. John, I
Yeah.
think that is the issue. See, they know a huge amount of our play goes through Brad. And when you nullify Brad, it changes our game.
Yeah. Calvin just seems a wee bit off it at the moment. I don't know if he just needs a wee bit of rest. And whether, you know, if Kyle Wilson comes back into the side, he didn't obviously make the Hearts game, but it looks like he needs a wee bit of time out, I think.
Do you also think, because obviously we talked about this in the pub last night as well, didn't we? I think there was points where he got the ball yesterday as well, and then this may have just been a Hearts thing, but he had like three, four guys around him as soon as he was got the ball, because they know he's a tricky winger.
Yeah.
And I think my biggest disappointment yesterday was when when he did have a couple of half chances, we could have done better with it
Yeah,
instead of just like snapshots.
aye, 100%. Back to Hibs game though. You know, as the fear was that we were like going to lose because Hibs started to motor. They went up a gear. Once they got the first goal, they went up a gear and like, could we keep up with them? Getting the goal at that point was obviously really, really important. But we seemed to find our feet in that second half. We kind of went up the gears with them, and you know, it was. You know, we got it, an R1 for the short corner, my favourite thing, and a brilliant run from Hendo and a brilliant header. A shout out to, I'm sure, Sean Elderbrand, who works for the SPFL and is the former Falkirk TV correspondent. There was a video went out on the SPFL channel of all Hendo's kind of goals from League Two
Saw that,
up to
I saw that.
up to the first goal in the Premier League. And it's just brilliant to see his journey and how far he's come as a defender. Again, against Hearts, he was one of our best players on the park yesterday as well. what he does,
Yep.
and he just rises to the occasion every time. So it was great to see him get that header and get that 2-2. And let's face the facts, in our 5-10 minutes, we could have went on to win the game, Ross.
We could have. There was only one team going for it in that second half. It was us. As David Gray said, the sort of crowd, the momentum was with Falkirk. The crowd had spooked Hibs a little bit, I think he said. Was that, I think that was his phrase. And I think, had the game went on another 5-10 minutes, it probably would have been a Falkirk winner. And I think we would have deserved it because it's not as if they had all of the first half. We probably had the first 50 minutes on Tuesday night. We then had all of the second half. So I think had we got the winner, I think it would have been just desserts. But just going back to Hendo's goal, like a beautiful, beautiful header from him, timed it perfectly. The ball in again from Ethan Williams was just pinpoint. I can't remember who took the corner short. Was it Calvin, maybe, between him and Ethan? So beautiful worked a short corner, as you said. It was interesting. We spoke to him after the game, didn't we, in the lounge, and he was like, "Oh, we just wanted to get back up the park and get going and try and get the winner." And that just you felt that as well as soon as we did score.
I thought the substitutions were great on Tuesday as well. I thought they were made at the right time and the right personnel came on at the right time. Oh, shout out to Alfie Agyeman, by the way. His best goal game this season coming off the bench. Playing out on the left-hand side where he's usually murdered as well. And he was brilliant. He just stretched the game and just gave, I think it was Uhura was playing out on the right-hand side. He gave him a torrid time when he came on.
What was it? Uhura? Is that another girl from Star Trek or something
O'Hora.
like
I think, yeah. And what was your
that?
correct? She was the communications officer, Ross, just keeping
There
you on
we
your
go.
Star Trek knowledge. But yeah, I thought Alfie and the subs were spot on.
Yeah.
When Brian came on, like he started just battering guys about as well. Surprised Gary Oliver. Gary Oliver seems to have been obviously utilised at Tynecastle and against Hibs as well. Good. I mean, it's good to see Gary because we all like Gary and what he's done for the club as well. So it was nice to see him getting some game time. But yeah, I
No, it
thought
was.
subs were great.
I agree with you. I thought the subs were perfect on Tuesday. Alfie, just as you said, came on and did really well. I thought he did. I thought I will talk about it, but I thought he did well when he came on yesterday as well.
100%, 100%. So that was Hibs 2-2. Decent result, decent result. We need to start winning at home, though. We really do need to start winning at home.
We do. We need 3 points, and who better than to get 3 points in against Rangers next
Aye,
Sunday?
surviving the 94th minute winner from them today. Crowd invasion to put them up. Crowd on the pitch to put them up to 8th in the league. There you go. But they're above us, and we now unfortunately find ourselves second bottom of the league as well. After that result, just on goal difference as well. But yeah, they visit the stadium, and we'll talk about that on Thursday's episode in the company of none other than Shellsuit Bob himself, Stephen Purdon. He's going to preview the Rangers game come this Thursday, so keep an eye out on your feeds for that dropping. So that was the Hibs game, and it was on to Hearts. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first of all, let's just say thank you very much to our sponsors, Behind the Wall. John and Paul actually are going to be in the pub this Tuesday. They're getting presented with their back-to-back glasses and the contribution which went to the manager's fund as well. So brilliant from Brian getting that done. Remember, stay local, you eat, drink global. At Behind the Wall, I sampled the Falkirk Daff Venom. It is still brilliant. Me and my friend Simon went into Behind the Wall last night and had a couple of well-kent faces around the Falkirk area, and it was cracking as ever. Remember, there's still spaces actually in the Falkirk Daff Carling coach. It's £5 for Rangers with the usual beer on return, and you'll get that at Motherwell as well. Tickets are on sale now for the Motherwell away trip on the 18th. Is that the 18th?
Saturday the 18th.
Saturday the 18th, and that's £10 return as well. So get on the phone to Behind the Wall, get it sorted there, and you'll get on the coach for that, and obviously get your pint on return. Brogo, I've kept talking about Brogo being there on the night before the Motherwell game. Sold out, right enough, but I've managed to blag myself into it, so I'm looking really forward to that. And obviously keep up to date with all the events happening at Behind the Wall, behindthewall.co.uk. We've got some, and we're going to talk, there was a massive debate in the pub yesterday about the big news that's happened this week, because we all know that Oktoberfest's still happening in October. You can get your tickets for that. Falkirk versus Rangers is sold out, but the big talking point from this week both from a Falkirk perspective and from our friends across the River Forth there, is Barney Stewart's loan to Dunfermline. I want to talk about this a bit once we get our guest pundit on. And that guest pundit, he's a well-kent face to Falkirk Daft. It is Richard Lindsay.
Hi boys, how you doing? Okay,
You all right?
Good mate,
good, doing well,
good,
mate,
good,
doing well.
good. You were at Hoi Polloi it with the Wayne Meister in the hospitality yesterday as well.
In the peasant Strongbow lounge,
And the peasant Stromberg. Well, I was lording it up in the European Executive Lounge, dining, fine dining with my coley with cheese sauce. It was very nice, I have to say. It
we're not
was.
all celebrities, John, so you know.
Hope not. Did you get Billy Brown and coming into your lounge?
And Mickey, Colin Cameron,
Oh, Colin
aye,
Cameron as
they were
well.
both in the
Yeah.
lounge. So,
I did. I
I think
did. Just cringed every time Billy Brown said "we," but he's obviously a Hearts man anyway, you know.
I know, but there was some folk. Obviously, did recognise there was Falkirk fans in the lounge, so he did actually bring that up. So that was a nice moment.
No, I like Billy Brown. He taught us very, very well as well. It was a good laugh. And with Colin
To
Cameron.
say he's a Hearts man, though, he went and worked for Hibs.
That's true.
So,
That is very
and
true.
really, if you go to a rival, you know what I
Oh,
mean? That's all I'm
we'll
saying.
talk about that a bit later on, Ross. Funnily enough, I'm glad you captured.
I think even Colin Cameron said he wishes Hibs were doing a bit better as well in the lounge at one point, and that didn't go down very well,
Yes,
which
we
was
did.
it was a strange comment. But then
But
again,
yes,
he played for Bray
we'll talk
Rovers, so they're
about
all strange, I
we'll
think.
go into rivals a bit later on. I'm glad you're here, Richard, because you can be the judge and jury. There was a feisty art, well, a heated discussion broke out in the pub yesterday between me and Ross about the Barney Sitchin, Stewart situation. We'll talk about that after we've talked about the Hearts
Sure.
game. And I've not got my bag. I've not got my the hat of honour, so we can ask the question this week, Richard,
Oh, am
because
I
we're
getting
all
another question?
the story. So I'm going to go in, and I'm going to go into my questions because I've not got the hat with me, but I'm going to pick out a question at random from our thing. So tell me when to stop. Tell me when to stop.
So,
Rank the big three: Russell Lattipe, Simon Stainrod, Ken McAllister. Rank them.
I was too young to see a lot of Stainrod, to be honest with you, and it's very close between Crunchy and Latapy. And I feel like I'll get lynched if I don't see Crunchy. But for me, Latapy, just that wee tiny, tiny touch ahead of Crunchy and then Stainrod.
Right, so
What were you guys?
Lattipe,
Yeah, that's a
Crunchy,
good question.
Stainrod. Right, but listen, it splits everyone. I think it absolutely splits everyone. I think again, it's maybe a generational thing as well. But certainly, do you know what? That's probably the order I've got it in as well, Richard, if I'm honest with you.
Latapy just gave me so many special times at a time in my life when I was like, I was just 18, 19, 20, going out with my mates, going to the football, and like going on the bus away and stuff like that. It was a special time.
Ross.
I think. Oh no, it's Crunchy's top because if I think back to again, just like Richard said, it's an exciting time. So when I think of Crunchy, I think, oh, I'm really looking forward to going to Brattle, seeing Crunchy. So probably Crunchy. He did more for us, so I'm going to say Russell, and then I'm going to put Stainrod. And it's not a slight on Stainrod at all because I loved the time he had with us, but it was short lived, and I think I got more enjoyment out of seeing Russell.
Oh, there we go. Well, listen, leave your comments below on our socials as well. Let us know where you rank the big three, as we like to call them. But let's talk about the game against Hearts. It was our first league meeting with Hearts since 2010, which was a 3-2 loss at Tynecastle. Are you sure about this? Ross has written the pack. This did we not? Well, in the top flight, was our last meeting, wasn't it? Because our last meeting at Tynecastle in the league was 2017, and that's when Sybil scored the winner, 3-2.
Ronnie Lloyd with a peach.
Yeah,
So I was more. It was more Premier League,
more
put it that
Premier League.
way.
So that was in the last time we were there. We got goals for we got a goal from Pedro Moutinho. There you go. When we got beaten there 3-2, but 3-0 it was this time around. It's we'll talk about it in a minute. In terms of changes from the side against Hibs, we had just one change, wasn't it? And that was obviously the enforced change with Lewis Nielsen dropping out all the time, and Philip Lisa getting his first start for Falkirk. Ross, surprised it was him rather than someone else, or did you think Lisa was the man?
No, I think he is obviously the natural centre back at Sam Hart, who we'll talk about in terms of his contribution
Talk
yesterday.
a lot about him.
Is I think is yeah, I think he's more if we're pigeonholing him, I think he's more of a fullback or a wing back. So no, I thought it would be Philippe Lisa who was coming in. In hindsight, would it have been better for have been Sam Hart based on the 20 minutes that he got? But and that's not a slight on Philippe Lisa because he did plenty of good stuff yesterday as well. However, I do wonder if Hendo would have maybe had a if it would have been a maybe a better pairing with Sam Hart.
Yeah, I think I was fairly happy with the lineup. I mean, I feel like it was the only change we could have made. And I mean, you're not signing a boy for Swansea to come and sit on the bench for games and games and games. So, and I know Ross is saying about Sam coming on and doing well, but I thought Lisa was fine up until maybe his last sort of 10, 15 minutes where he looked tired, and you could see that he'd ran his race a little bit. Obviously, makes a mistake in the game as well, but. I was happy with that. I was happy with him coming in. I was happy with the rest of the team as well.
Good to see big sexy Tom Lang back on the bench as well yesterday. He's had a bit of a
With
haircut.
a haircut.
Yes, with a haircut. It's still as attractive as ever. Actually the only other option I guess you could have, Tom's obviously just coming back, but Sean Mackey, who wasn't even on the bench yesterday, it didn't even make the match day squad. I thought Sean Mackey might, if he was wanting to kind of, have two guys, I mean, I know they're both left footers. We'll talk about Sam Hart and being a left footer in a bit as well. But Sean Mackey, I thought, could have been the only other option that would have come in there. But he's not, like I say, he didn't even make the match day squad yesterday.
The only thing I saw was, and I didn't, I wasn't sure if this was accurate or not, but the Herald had put out, sorry, it wasn't the Herald, it was a Scotsman, it was the Edinburgh paper, and they were putting out who was available, sorry, who was out for both Hearts and Falkirk, and they listed Sean Mackay as an
Yeah.
injury, but
Oh
I
right.
hadn't heard anything
No, I've
at
not heard
all.
that.
I don't think Mackie made the hip squad either, did he? Or did he
No.
even make the St Mirren squad? I think he was out for St Mirren game as well. He
Maybe
wasn't
he
even on
is,
the
maybe
bench,
he is.
so.
Yeah, I've
John
heard
McGlynn's
that.
been very quiet about him, though, hasn't he? He's not really mentioned him in any injury updates
True.
or
That's true,
anything
yeah.
like that.
Hopefully Sean's
Yeah.
okay. But yeah, that's the only other option I could have think. But it was good to, like I say, you could see big sexy Tom back on the bench yesterday.
Did he have his hair bleached blonde? Obviously, we were in the prawn sandwich seats, so we couldn't quite
No,
see
he's
him
had
when
a
he
bit of
was
a
warmed
buzz
up.
cut. He's had a bit of a buzz
A buzz
cut.
cut. No,
Yeah, but still looking
just you
good.
calm down, John.
Still looking good. But yeah, that was the team. I mean, from a Hearts perspective, you saw that side that they went up against. They've got some good players in that team. You just look around. That certainly in the mid, like Kingsley was again excellent for them yesterday. At the back, they're pretty solid. Midfield, the boy Devlin's a player you'd love to have on your team. As is the boy Kasaridis, who scored an absolute cracker. But it was I don't know, like we started off playing the way Falkirk do, but there's just an ever just Hearts were always there, and you just felt any time they got regained the ball we were in trouble. That
I thought the first 5 minutes we did okay.
Yeah, first
Hearts let
five
us have the
minutes we did
ball.
okay, hi.
We first 5-10, we got a couple of corners, and
Yeah.
I thought, okay,
Yeah, we did
this might be
Falkirk
a we
things,
might give them a game here.
yeah, we did
Yeah, I
what
thought
we've
we might give
done
them a game
anyway.
here. We're getting the ball,
It was the same against
but it
Hibs-Rich as
just,
well.
yeah, exactly. And then what happens is we don't take any chances or really create any chances, and all of a sudden we start to retreat a little bit, and that lets the opposition take complete control of the game, which Hearts did. And then after that, in the first half, it was one-way traffic, really.
No. It's certainly
I'm not even sure we had a good first 5 minutes, to be honest. I'm just,
I'd had too many beers in the lounge, probably, Ross,
I
that.
just think, I don't think we did anything well yesterday, and you know me, I'm a half glass full kind of guy, right? I just thought everything we tried yesterday just wasn't good enough. Now, is that a combination of because we're playing top of the league Hearts and they look really strong, which they do, by the way, they have done all season so far. So there's maybe a combination of that, but I'll go back to what we've talked about time and time again. If you don't do the basics right, as in clear your lines well when you have to, get a tackle in, put your body in front of the ball, and then put the ball in the back of the net when you get a sniff, we didn't do any of that yesterday. We had multiple chances to stop a lot of stuff going wrong, and we didn't do anything.
I
I've
felt like
no disappointment.
we actually went long far too often. We just resorted to that, and you could see the massive gaps between McKeever and the midfield. And he's
Huge.
up there trying to win the when the header flick on. There's absolutely nobody near him. It's like there's
No.
almost like half the team decided, right, we're just going to defend, and then we'll just let Ross deal with it up front, and that's not going to work for us. We're a team who wants to control the ball, and then when we can't even get up the park to control it, you've got no chance.
I thought
The
Ross
other
was
thing, the
sorry, bro.
sorry,
Go
John.
ahead,
Another
go.
thing I think that happened, I felt that happened was, obviously some players didn't have the best game. Ross is saying everybody needs to be up for it and that. And then as soon as Hart started to like bring Milne into the midfield from right back, we were totally overrun in the midfield. They had Benigni, Devlin, Milne controlling that midfield really whenever they had the ball, and then that just led to chance after chance really.
I felt sorry for Ross McKeever. I thought he was basically had nothing to feed on. It just was an isolated man up there, and like he didn't get a sniff yesterday, Ross. And that's not his fault. It was just the supply wasn't coming to him at all yesterday.
No, as Richard said, the gaps were huge all over the place, and we were the masters of our own downfall, really. And I did feel sorry for him. I don't think there was I think it wouldn't have made any difference whether it was Trey or Brian Graham or whoever, Gary Oliver up front, they would have had the same outcome yesterday. It was just a tough afternoon, and as I say, I think it's in part due to how good Hearts are just now, and they are good. They look great. They do. And I think there's an element of they're just a good team, but I think we shot ourselves in the foot so many times yesterday. And thank fuck for Scott Bain. That's all I'm
Well,
going to say
I
yesterday.
was going to
I
say
think the fact
Scott.
they pressed.
Sorry.
Sorry, John. I'm just saying, I think the fact they pressed us so much and then we went long. I mean, that's food and drink for Finlay and Halkett, isn't it? Like balls like that up front. I mean, we're never going to win those.
No, Scott Bain, again, just proven, as we've said in various podcasts, just how important he is to the side and how he is established now as number one. Because he was excellent, some great saves, especially I can't remember who had the header. Was it Kasaridis? Was it? I don't know
Was it
the
the back post one?
outstanding, absolutely outstanding. Nothing much you could do, however, about Hart's first goal. You start Keelan Adams, maybe should do better. It's Kasaridis kind of ducks past him. He tries going and has a second nibble at him. Doesn't get him. Then the guy gets past Brad, and then what about the finish? You don't stop them. It was a phenomenal. It was a very, very good goal, and you just thank God we're up against it today.
The strike was a beautiful finish. As we've said, though, the errors prior leading up to it, we probably could have done a bit better with. Could have been stronger in the block, could have been stronger in the tackle, closing them down. But the finish itself was beautiful. I don't blame Scott Bain for not keeping that out at all. It was right in the post's stamp as well. It had been coming though. So had he not scored, I'm sure they would have anyway. Just the way the game was flowing at that point, but it was a beauty of a finish. And Scott Bain, he's not going to do much with that.
No, it was an absolute stunner. I think Keelan's unlucky in the first tackle because it kind of ricochets off both players' legs and falls to Kyrgyzstan. And I think Adams actually gets a wee nick on the second one. I feel like he should have done better there. I feel like maybe he should have slid in rather than just tried to. He almost went tried to go with his right foot like across the player, and like he actually nicks that perfectly for him that Spencer has to commit, and then he's already around Spencer, and then you're like, well, I still thought, oh, we're okay here, we're fine, and then he goes and puts it in the top corner. So that's just what quality players do, and it's what happens when you spend a lot of money.
Absolutely. So that, I mean, like you say, it just felt like it was always coming. We didn't really get a grasp of the game at all. And then you think, I was then at that point looking at the scoreboard every couple of minutes going, right, let's just get a half time. Let's get a half time. 45 minutes. We'll take 1-0. We'll reorganise. And the dad have chat they had a couple of good chances, but Bain was again really well. And then you're thinking, right, only 5 more minutes to go. Let's get to half time. And then again, just stupid. It is going back to what you say, Ross, it's like when you make mistakes like that. Lisa, who looked again, just looked a bit unnerved by the occasion, I think. You know, with the ball into Kenry Cartwright, who's got two Hearts players, including a Scotland international striker surrounding him. I mean, at first I was raging. I thought it was all about Cartwright, but actually on looking it back, it's a stupid, stupid pass from Lisa.
I think I would agree. I think when you watch it back, the frustration is, and it's not just on Lisa this, by the way. We do it as a general rule of thumb. We don't clear our lines. We try and play out, and I just think that. But that was what led to. I don't blame Cartwright at all for getting overrun by Shankland, and I can't recall who the other player was that went in on him. But because the Hearts pressed us all day. Like, and they did that really, really well. I just thought it was a really suicidal pass to play into Cartwright at that point. Get it down the line, get it away.
I thought it was a combination of both of them at fault, to be honest. I thought Lisa should never play that pass. He actually takes a second to look, and you're like, right, that's clearly not the ball. And then he plays it anyway. And I think Cartwright's first touch is pretty poor. And I think this is coming a little bit of naivety from the players we're saying. You know, like Henry's been doing great, but he's obviously never played an atmosphere like that before. And if you know you're getting pressed, just smash it as hard as you can. First time away down the pitch, you know, he tries to take that touch. It's a wee bit heavy, and credit to Shankland because like he could have just stood still there. Didn't he have to work backwards? They had players closing in
There.
on Henry, but he works back. Don't know if it was a foul. I'm looking at, like I understand he's cute with it, Shankland, but he's the wrong side of the ball. Cartwright's in between, and he gives him a wee kind of nudge. And I don't know if that was up the other end of the pitch, and that was Ross McKeever on say Devlin, or I don't know if the Hearts would have got a foul. I don't know. I just think that
I just think
sometimes
it's
it's.
I think it's just experienced centre half centre forward play, Richard.
Aye, but he's the wrong side of the ball. Cartwright's in between them. But no, I understand. I can totally understand. I would say it wouldn't be a foul for it. Like if we had done it. So yeah, I was at the time. I thought it was going to give a foul. But no, I've got no complaints with it not being. And it's a great finish, isn't it? It's like smash alone hard. Bain takes a wee
Yeah,
step. Bain takes a wee
I was
step
going
to
to
the
say,
left.
should Scott Bain be disappointed looking back at that? Do you think he'll be disappointed?
I think he'll be disappointed to lose the goal, but like Richard says, when you watch it from behind the goals, he's taken a step almost to the left just before he hits it. And actually, had he not done that, but I get why he wasn't, because the play wasn't like he didn't expect this turnover
No.
at the 30-yard mark. So I think he's where he thinks he needs to be in case he needs to take a pass from Cartwright or Lisa or whoever. He'll be disappointed to lose a goal because it's so far out, but it was a really well struck goal again, and it's Lauren Shankland. He scored a ton of goals, and it just felt like Christ, how many are Hearts going to score today now when that one's went in.
Yeah.
I think he's sorry, John. I think he's like getting ready for Hearts to break and make it like to break forward with multiple players to create an attack. I don't think he's really expecting Shankland to hit it so early. And
No.
that's kind of what does him. No complaints would be in there, really.
Fair enough, fair enough. Half time comes around. At that point, like you say, Ross, I was kind of fearful for that second half. We made a couple of changes. Surprise? Were you surprised at the change? I certainly was surprised at Gary Oliver. I wasn't surprised that Scott Arfield came on because you just need that experience head on the park at that point, I think. Surprised? I was surprised Williams and Cartwright went off. I thought there were other players in the park. I don't think Dylan Tate was at his best yesterday. In fact, I don't. It was okay against Hibs as well, doing Dylan Tate things. And Brad Spencer, as we talked about earlier on, Ross, just a wee bit off it. Sorry, Richard. I know that's a like swearing word in front of you, being such a big Spencer fan. But I did think there was other contenders for coming off as opposed to Williams and Cartwright.
I was shocked. I wasn't shocked. Was I shocked he made subs at half time? A little bit, because it's not like him, but then we were 2-0 down, we were well out of it. So I get his thinking. I did think Scott Arfield would be coming on sooner rather than later, just to try and I thought we may put an extra body in the midfield, just as Richard said earlier. The Hearts had overloaded the midfield. We needed to try and win that midfield battle. I didn't see Gary Oliver coming on. In that time or position, not to say he didn't do okay when he came on, but I just didn't see that sub. I didn't overly think Ethan Williams deserved to go off. in the same manner. I
I
didn't
thought he looked a
think
threat. I thought Williams looked a threat when he got on the ball and got he
I did
moved the
too.
ball forward. He carried the ball, really well, I thought.
I wasn't surprised that Cartwright went off, and because McGlynn was desperate to put Tait back in there, so it's back to Brad and Dylan. And I think when we talked after the Livingston game, I think then we talked about having the two holders in Cartwright and Spencer and maybe moving Tait into the 10. I don't think Tait works in the 10. I'll take that back from what I said. I think Dylan needs the play in front of him. He needs to be able to get his head up and pick a pass. Him with back to goal in that 10 or on a half turn, it just doesn't work for me at all, and it didn't work there on Saturday. So he was definitely going to try and get Dylan back in that position. I was surprised at Gary coming on, especially on that left-hand side. I was
I
like,
know.
I actually think he was. I don't actually. Rem I remember him touching the ball twice or something, but like it was weird. And maybe Ethan's got an injury. I don't know, but I was very surprised because you saw in the Hibs game, people were terrified of him because he's got pace down that side, and not that he did a lot on Saturday, but he had one wee ball inside in the first half, and people were standing off him a little bit because they're like, okay, this guy maybe got a bit of pace to bump. So I was surprised at that, but. Yeah, not surprised to see Dylan in that position.
I would have had Alfie on before Gary Oliver in that position.
I think we talked about the Hibs game earlier on, and Alfie, as we were saying, showed up really, really well on the left-hand side, surprisingly as well. Because you know what he brings, and he just got the ball at his feet, and he would have brought the ball up the park with him, Alfie, as we saw what happened when he came on. I did think it was strange, but. I mean, I didn't even see the third goal because I was on my way back up and I just heard the I was in the toilet and I just heard the music play. And I was like, oh Jesus Christ! And then I was like, I knew when I got upstairs, I thought it's been a corner, hasn't it? Yep, and it was. Just again, just switching on.
I can almost take the first two goals. The first one especially, an absolute peach. The second one, good work from them, close us down. A bit of mistake from us, good strike. See the third one, see losing a goal for a corner, like a header, where like if you watch the highlights, Keelan doesn't track Halkett. And you're like, if you look at it, it's a good header, it's quite a distance out, puts it right in the corner, but you're like,
Could do
right at the
better.
start of the second half, give us a chance. You know what I mean? Like just keep it tight for 5 minutes and then see what
Because the
happens.
game plan's gone by that point. When
Oh,
you're 3-0 down and you think we're going to chase the game, and obviously I think that's why John made the changes he did. But like 3-0 down, you're done. You're done, you're dusted after 48 minutes, you know?
I agree. It was a sore one, and we did then come a little bit and more into the game, right? And we were talking about this last night as well, when we were just thinking, did we come more into the game
Or
because
did
they're
Hearts
3-0?
just say that we're done for the day?
Well, they were almost in cruise control, I think, after
Aye.
that, and we created bits, but we didn't really create anything meaningful. And this is what I was saying about earlier on about if you don't defend well and you don't take a chance when you even get a sniff, we had two or three sniffs in the second half and we don't even trouble the bloody keeper. It's just
Do you
so
know
poor.
what it is? It's easy to play 3-0 down because the pressure, there's no pressure there.
There's pressures off.
You
John
know,
McGlynn said as well, didn't he? In his post-match, he said the same.
like Hearts level dropped, clearly. The match was won. They were just managing the game perfectly, like a Derek McInnes team does, I thought they were excellent at that. But again, for us, I said this many times last year in the championship when we were cruising against teams, maybe the last 20 minutes, we'd kind of lower our standards and the other team would maybe play a bit better and get one or two chances. And I said that every time I was at the game. I was like, it's easy to play when you're 2 or 3 nothing down. There's no pressure on you. And that's exactly what happened.
I know. We did create chances, which was good. Like Scott Arfield, I was very on Scott Arfield like finish when he had it was on his left foot, right enough. But when Calvin was able to soon square it back to Scott, and then Calvin himself got through a couple of times, but just that strike he had, which went miles wide, we did create more chances. But as you guys say, it's just like. It's easier to play when
We
you
had the Dylan chance where he made the goalie make a good save. But I mean that was for about 25 yards, so I mean that they'll eat that up, what I mean? So it's like
That was probably our best attempt. And it was a good attempt, but it was our best attempt that we had. And as you said, Calvin and Scott, unfortunately, their efforts were really weak, and just were never going to trouble them.
No. Let's talk about Sam Hart when he came. Like we took the substitutes came on. I thought when Sam Hart came on, he looked very good. Very good. All left foot, right enough. So whether he could play beside Hendo, I mean, I think that's more of a thing, a trait of the modern game, isn't it? I never noticed back in the day that centre halves had, you play the right foot on the right side and the left foot. It's just seemed like it's just become a trait of the modern game that you must play a left foot or a left centre half. Could
I think
Sam
you're going
Hart?
back to your Chapman days, John.
I know. So could Sam Hart playing on the left hand side beside Hendo? Because I was very impressed. I don't know if you boys made of him, but I was really impressed when he came on.
Thought he did okay. He looked very interested, and I don't mean others weren't, but like he came on and he showed a lot of passion when others were maybe having a bit of a slack moment. You saw how angry he got, and that's where I was going earlier on, where maybe him and Hendo could work quite well together.
Great
That
tackle, by the
said,
way. See the tackle where he saved it. He thought it could be a penalty. Brilliant tackle.
absolutely. And he looked energetic. He looked up for it. He looked a bit of an older head that Hendo maybe needs, and I don't mean needs with him, but I think is there an element of this season where Hendo's maybe having to cover other things going on? So for that reason, maybe Sam Hart could be a useful person to play against Rangers next week.
I thought when he came on, he was athletic. He looked big. He was confident with his passing. Made that great tackle on Cabango, like you said, John. He was second favourite for that and got back. Obviously playing out of position as well on that right side. He was very left-footed. So I can understand that. But what I'm a bit worried about is why did Hendo not go to the right-hand side? They're both left-footed, but it's like, why are you putting the new boy in there and not putting him on the left and Hendo on the right? That worried me slightly. Maybe surely the older head should have moved over and let the new boy play in his more natural position. But if John thinks he can play there, then that's fine. The other thing he talked about is should be started on because a bit more experience. He's obviously played games for Port Vale, whereas Lissa's never really played much man's football. I think hindsight and looking back, I think John would probably say he should have started the boy who had maybe a few games
Yeah,
for him.
it's maybe a bit of a lesson learned. Obviously, Williams, Cartwright, and Lisa all kind of starting that game. So it's maybe, like you say, Richard, a lesson learned in terms of that, in terms of maybe that's a bit too much to expect from the young lads.
I think the other thing we have to remember is we're playing Hearts away from home, like a team who are potentially going to split the old firm or try and go for the title. That's not our acid test. That is
No,
not who
it's
will be
not at all.
judged at
No,
the end
no.
of the season. These things happen. Other teams will go there and get battered. So it's nothing to panic about. We just go again and we worry about our home form and then hopefully take some points away from them.
Whilst it's not the acid test, and you're right, we all said this yesterday before the game. Listen, if you give us a point now, and we'll bite your hand off and we'll go home, right? However, a lot of the basics that we had been doing well before weren't there yesterday, and for me, that's a worry, because did some of the players did they shit the occasion? Like Tynecastle's half the size of Parkhead, but it's a noisy place, and the crowd are right on top of you. So is it that? Is it
But I
just
think,
because?
sorry, Ross, I think it's like you said, though, it's Hearts were good as well.
Hearts had a good game. They
Do
did.
you know what I mean? They pressed us all over the park. So it was a combination of us being off it and Hearts being very good. And the reason we were off it, in my opinion, is because Hearts were very good.
Hearts
Do
will
you know what
split
I
the
didn't?
I'll tell you right now, Hearts will split the old firm this season.
Mate, there's going to be about six teams split in the old firm this season.
But they will, but we've seen Russell Maher. But Hearts, for me, and I'll be interested to see what the litmus test for them will be against Celtic. But they have a very good. You look around, look at their bench, and look who was sitting on the bench for them. You look at that starting 11. They've still got the Brazilian boy Agüero to come back into that side as well. But midfield, the Benny Beringame is a great footballer, as is Cammy Devlin in those kind of pivot roles. And the boy Caceredes looks like he's going to be an absolute player for them. Braga in the 10, they've got options. Stephen Kingsley I thought was really good for them yesterday as well.
I think that Beningame is quite important because I think he's had quite a lot of injuries the last couple of years. And when he first came, he was like their shining star. He looked really good. So, I mean, if they can keep him fit, then they've got half a chance. They've got good players all over the park, really.
I know. So I do think, and yet it's not our test. Our tests will come in those home games against the likes of Dundee and Motherwell and take it back
Rangers.
and Rangers. Exactly. So we'll see how it goes. But certainly, yesterday is just like learn from it. My worrying thing was like we were miles off them. You could just tell we're miles away from anywhere near like what Hearts do. So we've got to take that as a lesson. We've got to learn from it, and I'm sure John and the players will do that. Let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match, however.
John, a difficult one out there today. What have you taken away from that?
No, it was. It was a difficult one. I think we looked a little bit heavy leg today, especially beginning first half, almost the whole first half. I think we looked a little bit heavy legged. Hearts started as we kind of anticipated them, at a very high tempo, great intensity. Found it really difficult to control things. We've managed to get over the 20-minute mark, which is normally, a good sign. However, they've managed to score a worldie in 22 minutes. We knew the guy, Karidis, would be going to come in inside on his right foot to do that particular skill shot, whatever you want to call it. But he executed it, extremely well. It's right in the top bin. Scott has got no chance. So I think Scott had a great game today, and he's been great virtually every game. He's made saves in every game that we've played in, and we need him to be doing that as well. And so we probably needed to get in at half time 1-0 to give ourselves a wee chance to get back into the game. However, unfortunately, we've lost the ball deep in our own half. And it's a very good strike by Lauren Shankland that's obviously beaten Scotty. Half time, made a couple of changes, tried to freshen things up a little bit. Felt we weren't competing as well as we should do. Unfortunately, though, we again get dispossessed, lose the ball, which led to a corner kick, which from the corner kick we lose a goal. So losing goals to set plays are not great. We've kind of dealt with most of the things that they kind of threw at us. But that one we didn't, then we'll go punished for it. I think after that we've tried to get back into the game. We've created one or two openings, one or two attempts. Dylan had a really good attempt at goal, but Hearts were the more dominant team today. Hearts are top of the table, we're away from home. You can't concede, but it's going to be a difficult day, if we're not quite 100%. We put a lot of effort into the Hibs game on Tuesday night, and unfortunately I think that had some kind of bearing on today. And the opposite, Hearts didn't have a game that had a bit of relief and been prepared for this game for some time, and you could see that, and that can be the difference. So fair play to Hearts, done the damage. We need to learn. Yeah, we're always learning. We'll go over the game, we'll go through the detail of what we could have done better, and look to do exactly that, and look to do better.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what we need to do as we face Rangers at the stadium this Sunday. Let's hear what you guys had to say on the game yourself. Linda kicks us off this week saying, impressed with Hearts, scored three good goals, but our play leading up was poor. Midfield need to move the ball quicker, learn how to put in a tackle. Some, I'd say, need a rest. I wonder who you're meaning there, Linda. Arfield should be starting. Bain was excellent and spared us a hammering, and Hart impressed me. Sam, the hitman Hart.
Indeed. Brian says, wrong changes at half-time. Spencer and or Tate should have been hooked before Cartwright. Miller out his depth against fullbacks at this level, sadly. Other than that, we were just outclassed by a better team.
No arguments against any of that, I don't think. Elsa, first, the positives. Bain, Lisa, Hart were excellent. Ogunsui, good. As for the rest, ponderous, lack of movement, poor passing and decision-making, and lack of link-up play until Oliver and Arfield came on. Hearts were really good, but we didn't trouble them.
Colin says, worst performance of the season. Don't think we could cope with the two games in 5 days. Can we come back to that, though? Couldn't get anything going. Hard to start next week. So, I've heard John McGlynn talk about Tuesday. We've heard Liam Henderson talk about Tuesday. Colin's mentioned it there now as well. why should it be that big huge problem? We were off for 10 days before we played Hibs. We've not played three games in a week. Do you know what I mean? What, like, I don't get it.
I hate that excuse, to be honest. Too many games. Professional footballer.
See, if it was us three plus five of our pals, right, you're struggling Saturday having played on Tuesday. I don't get it.
I don't know, Ross. I play a couple of games of sevens a week. I play Tuesday and a Thursday sometimes. No bother for me.
I agree with Richard.
I've seen you, John.
I don't like hearing that.
He also goes on to say in the interview that we need to learn to recover better. But surely we've got that down. Like, how are we not recovering well enough to play a game? You know, yeah. I don't know. It feels a bit of a cop out for me.
It's September. It's not March. Like, are they tired? If they're tired, change the training. And listen, John is an expert coach. He knows what he's doing. But please, that annoys me.
Yeah. Second goal was a gift, says Navy Blue. Young boys making passes when they shouldn't. We need to start learning when and when not to play.
Indeed. Callum says, all well and good having a style of play, but if we don't throw caution to the wind at places like Tynecastle against a good Hearts team, then these results will be a common occurrence. Lissa and Hart look like they can add something to the team. I would maybe like to see us try three centre-backs plus the two wing-backs.
Adam, from Hart's perspective, Adam's a jambo, thought Falkirk weren't bad at all, came with a game plan, never stopped trying to attack, thought Hearts were brilliant on the ball, and the goals speak for themselves. Fair play from, there was a lot, like I say, it's that kind of, he's tried, you know, kind of pat on the head type thing in hospitality at the end of it with speaking to the Hearts supporters. They were mostly impressed by us.
There was lots of patronising, definitely, lots of patronising.
Yeah.
It is easy to say that when you've just spanked somebody, though.
Yeah.
Like, had Livingston came and shit-fested a 0-0, like, they wouldn't be complimenting Livingston on how they're set up. Anyway, Homer's twin, their passing was quick and accurate, broke forward quickly, finished accurately and defended well. We dwelt on the ball too much. We're too easily disposed and the midfield didn't cover the defence well enough. We need to become harder to score against. I agree with every single word he's just said.
Yeah, I don't think there's any disagreement. And Brendan finishes off saying, better team deserved their win, but we didn't show the best version of ourselves. Slack passes, slow physically and mentally, unable to make any of our few chances. Still some positives though, and it should act as a reminder of what we can get, what we can't get away with in this league. So,
Fair play.
Right, Falkirk Daft rated. Let's kick off with that. Ross Wayne.
Two words, Scott Bain.
Scott Bain, Richard Lindsay.
The day out with all the boys in the hospitality.
I'm actually going to say hats off to the Heart supporters. Now, I'm not going to put them as Falkirk Daft rated because I think we'll just give it to Scott Bain. But I think for the Heart supporters to enjoy join the applause for our good pal Andy Arbuckle, I thought, you know, hats off to them. And like, there was people turning to me when I started podding in the stand saying what we applaud for, and I explained it to them, and then they all got up to a man and applauded as well. So, you know, Richard, I know you're good pals with Andy. It's been a horrible, horrible week, and you know, we're dedicating this episode to him, but it was great to see in the 37th minute that applause going around the ground.
It was really nice. It's been a tough week. I've known Andy since like 1994. We moved to the Arbuckle farm to live there, and me and my brother, we'd be around there playing football in the garden or playing the Mega Drive or that, you know. Andy's, you know, I've known him all my life. He's done my back garden, you know. I see him at the games. Saw him in Germany last year with Scotland. It's horrific, you know, just terrible. And my condolences go out to Ian, Stuart, and all the Arbuckle family. Pretty devastated, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely
horrible. But it was, like I say, it was just really nice that everyone to a man applauded them, and you know, like it was just a true Falkirk supporter, and you know, did so much for the club. Speaking to Jamie Swinney, you know, like all the stuff he did with his business, you know, the fan zone probably wouldn't be there without the Arbuckles, and you know, like they would do it because of Falkirk supporters. You know, they're probably doing it at cost as well, to help the club. And you know, Andy was such a great guy. So, you know, like you say, Richard, absolute hearts out to Stuart and Ian and all the family. So, this, as I say, this show's dedicated to you, Andy. Right, Falkirk Dafty.
A tough one.
There's a few contenders.
That's a tough one.
I've got mine, Ross. I'll go first.
To give you me go first, then.
Because I'm never gonna pick a Falkirk player or anything to do with Falkirk. I'm never gonna do that. My Falkirk Dafty is Derek McInnes. For every single moment of that game, he was complaining about something. He was running about, hands in the air, shouting at things that were blatantly not a Hearts throw-in or even a goal kick or anything. He was screaming for everyone. Fair enough, I like his enthusiasm, but Derek McInnes for my Dafty for being a bit of a prick.
Right, Ross.
I never noticed that as much, if I'm being honest. However, I noticed the Tynecastle. Did you notice the Tynecastle tunnel is off centre? Now, the reason so that is so that the away dugout is absolutely nowhere near the linesman. So that probably just adds to that as well, Richard, doesn't it? Listen, in the absence of, I struggle to narrow any single person down. So in the absence of that, happy to go with Derek McInnes as well.
I mean, I think when you look at the performances of the Falkirk players, there was only past Mark Scott being obviously he's got the rated. Hendo, I thought, was okay. Midfield, I'm really struggling to find pass marks in the midfield. Leon McCann, I mean, I don't think Leon was really involved in the game at all. Keelan Adams didn't have a great game. There was a lot of missing players yesterday. Calvin Miller, again, we talked about him earlier on.
It was strange. I think they're just because they were so much better than us. Yeah. Nobody actually played badly because you never saw them.
You never saw
our players because they didn't have the chance to be bad.
That's the thing. I don't think we were that bad. Like, I've seen Falkirk players who've been terrible and got beaten by less.
Yeah.
But I don't think we were that bad. But it was just
we're just totally outclassed by a much, much better team than us.
Yeah, and totally outclassed.
You've got to hold your hands up and say, "Well done, Hearts."
I mean, I said that. Shook the boys' hands at the table afterwards. Say, "Listen, that's I generally think they will be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. Probably a lot further ahead than what they think they should be at this point. But they've got, like I say, a squad. So yeah." Falkirk Dafty, we'll just stick down Derek McInnes because we can't. It's always a cop out, is it? Always a cop out where we can't pick a Falkirk player, but there was a few, and there was plenty on that side, but we're always equally as bad as each other yesterday, I think. Right, that's Falkirk Dafty done. That's Falkirk Dafty done. And now it is time for Falkirk Daft versus. Yes, it is.
Again,
Richard, you're back again, and it's okay. You're playing against me this week, so you're right. Half a chance.
Have you got your whiteboard ready?
No, I've left downstairs, but I've got a little scribbler on my phone that I can write.
Right, okay. That's fine. So, as always, with Falkirk Daft versus, so John, you write down your answer. Once John has written something down, Richard, I'll then come to you for your verbal answer. All right. So, here we go then. Question number one. Who was the last player to join Falkirk from Rangers? So, who was the last player to join Falkirk from Rangers?
Good answer.
That was quick. John sounds confident. Ricardo.
Oh, I can't remember the boy's name. Oh, come back to me. Is it the centre half boy? Mick something. Mick.
Are you thinking? No, I can't see it.
No, Mick, it's no McCausland. It's that boy.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking
about. It's wrong, clearly wrong.
It was during COVID, yeah, it is wrong.
Right,
John?
Oh, no, I've got another one. Can I say another one?
Go on then, just before John reveals.
Fraser Aird.
You're saying Fraser Aird, the Canadian international, okay, yeah. John?
I'm saying Connor Allen.
Connor Allen is right, it's just this season, yep, Connor Allen.
Connor Allen was released by Rangers, though. He didn't join from Rangers.
He did. It was joined. We signed him on a pre-contract. We signed Connor Allen on a pre-contract.
Did we?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Anyway, you're right. If it wasn't, it wouldn't have been Fraser Aird anyway. It would have been somewhere like your
What was his
boy. I
name?
think it was McCausland. I think it was
Was
actually.
it?
I think so.
I can't remember that.
Okay, so 1-0 Falkirk Daft. So question number two: which player? This nice, easy one, Fraser. Which player made four debuts for Falkirk Football Club? So which player made four debuts for Falkirk Football Club?
Got my answer.
Okay, nice easy one. Richard, come
Nice,
to
easy one. Nice, easy one.
you.
Not a clue. Pedro
No idea.
Moutinho.
No idea. Oh,
Pedro
Pedro.
Moutinho.
You're saying Pedro Moutinho? I think he may have been three.
Okay.
He might have been three.
Crunchy is the answer.
Crunchy is
I
indeed
didn't know
the
that. There you go.
answer. Yeah,
So
it
I'm
was.
just, I'm not a top fan. Clearly not a top fan.
So it's 2-0 to Folger Daft.
Very
So
granny now, Richard.
What was the four debuts in?
Came on loan, didn't he? He came on loan.
So
Started, came on loan, came back, and then the fourth time was, yeah.
So the question number three is a who am I? Okay. So this player started their career with Motherwell, playing 154 games, and in that time even got a Scotland cap, just the one. He then moved over to St Mirren. He then had a short spell at Dumbarton before joining Falkirk Football Club. From Falkirk, he moved on to play for some big SPFL teams, Rangers, Hearts, and Motherwell, before finishing his career at Clydebank in 2001. So just to clarify, who am I? So he started his career at Motherwell playing 154 games, had got a Scotland cap in that time as well, before moving on to St Mirren with a short spell at Dumbarton before signing for Falkirk. He played one season at Falkirk before playing for other Premiership teams, Rangers, Hearts, and Motherwell, and finishing his career at Clydebank, where he retired in 2001. Who am I? So,
I think I
Richard.
might have this. I've written some down.
Okay.
I'm going with David Cooper.
You're thinking Davy Cooper? Okay.
I am
Richard.
saying my friend and head of the PFA, Fraser Wishart.
It's Fraser Wishart. Well done. My goodness.
Hey! Granny Richards! Yes!
What we're saying is one of the questions was to do with John's friend, Fraser Wishart.
I actually popped down and seen him at half time yesterday. He was covering the game for Super Scoreboard yesterday, so I popped down and said hello to Fraser yesterday. So
There
there
you go.
you
I
go.
think David Cooper have more caps for
He didn't
Scotland
play
than
for
John.
Falkirk
He didn't
either.
play for Falkirk
Oh
either.
shit,
Fuck, I wasn't gonna listen to I wasn't gonna listen to
Brilliant.
that
Super
bit.
Brilliant.
Well done,
Well done, mate. Another win for Falkirk Daft. Play the strings, Ross.
that was worse than the last time. The
I
absolute
know.
disaster.
Having a nightmare, mate. Having a nightmare. Richard, always a pleasure to have you on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time as ever. And before you go, though, we've got to talk about it. We mentioned it at the top of the podcast. Let's talk Barney Stewart. Barney Stewart this week has moved from Falkirk to Dunfermline. Now, there was a very, not a heated discussion, but a debate in the pub last night. Ross is saying he will not applaud Barney Stewart when he comes back to Falkirk.
I don't think I quite said
You
that.
quite said
No,
something along
no,
with,
no, no,
got,
I didn't.
sorry,
No, I didn't.
in your own words then, Ross,
No,
because
I'm quite happy to.
it was about as strong as that.
No, I don't think it was. I'll
How
give my
do you
side of
leave
the
the chat?
I'll give my side of the story. What I think the club, whether you want to say it's John McGlynn, the board, Jamie, whoever's made the final decision, right? I think the club have put Barney Stewart in a horrible, horrible position. And I'll tell you for why. Yes, Barney was probably always going to go out on loan. Okay. Now there may not have been any other clubs interested in signing Barney. We will never know, right? However, he should not have been put on loan to Dunfermline Athletic. My thinking behind that is it's Dunfermline. Why are we doing Dunfermline any favours at all, right? Would Rangers loan someone to Celtic and vice versa? Would Hibs and Hearts do this? Would Dundee and Dundee United do it? No, they wouldn't. They just wouldn't do it, right? Because it's a sporting rivalry. Barney Stewart yesterday was booed onto the pitch by the Dunfermline Athletic. John's like, yeah, John, it's
I'll
fine.
wait, I'm wait. I'm going to give you. I'm
He's,
going to get. I'm
that's
going to give
fine.
you. Give you. Give you.
Barney
Get
has
up the
been
stage.
booed. Barney has been booed onto the pitch yesterday by Dunfermline fans. They're not comfortable with it. You saw the reaction at the Falkirk. Sorry, a majority of the Falkirk fans on Friday when the news broke. They're not happy with it. John McGlynn, in his Falkirk TV interview, even mentions the fact that he knew it would be a little bit controversial and spoke to the board as well. So we're putting Barney in a horrible position here, whereby the Dunfermline fans, or a chunk of them, are not happy he's went. Falkirk fans are not happy. A, he's went, but B, he's went to Dunfermline. And we've got a young laddie who's been booed onto the pitch yesterday. I just think that is a shocking thing for him. And I think they're doing Barney a disservice. He's going to get booed now. And you've seen a small reaction to some of the Falkirk fans as well, saying, oh, he shouldn't be coming back. Why have we put him in this position? And I don't get it. I don't get it.
I can get it.
Here's my
Thank you, John.
perspective on it. Here's my perspective. Okay, we have just loaned an up-and-coming player who isn't going to get near the. Let's all admit it. He's not going to get near with. We've got a guy on loan from Sunderland. We've got Brian Graham. And we've got Ross McKeever, and that's our striking options. Barney, unless there's an injury, is not going to get near the first team this season. Okay,
Disagree.
we are basically have loaned them to. I wouldn't now. Your point, Ross, about loaning to rivals. They're all playing in the same league. They're all playing in the same division, right? And I mean, in the case of Rangers and Celtic, even when Rangers were going through the journey, that wouldn't have happened anyway. That's Rangers and Celtic, right? We have loaned a player to a lower league side to get experience. Now, that lower league side happened to be Dunfermline, but that lower league side, if you change the name, let's just say it was St Johnstone, for example, you change it, he's getting experience at a high level, and if he's getting his game, great. Now, I, for one, hope he scores fucking 20 consolation goals for Dunfermline, but if he's going out and scoring goals in that league and he comes back to Falkirk a stronger, better player, Dunfermline have done us a favour. Do you know what I mean? And for us, great, fantastic. Now, fake news, by the way, he didn't get booed on. From what my sources at the game, Stephen Mill, said he did not hear any boos. He did not
Well,
hear any boos from yesterday.
I won't name the source, but I have a source that definitively said there was booze yesterday. So I think, and it's not to say I'm saying Stephen's a liar or it's not true. However, I think, and you say there, John, if he went to St Johnstone, if he went to St Johnstone, I don't think majority of Falkirk fans would have a problem here. But he's not went to St Johnstone. We have no beef with St Johnstone.
So
I feel.
you don't you are you with the rest of the Falkirk fans? You wouldn't have him back at the club? Are you with
I
the
never
some
said,
people
no one ever
saying you
said
would
that. I
have him
said the
back at the
club will
club?
put him in a really poor position. I would take Barney back at the club, but I think there will be an element of the Falkirk crowd now who, if they back up their comments on social media, he will struggle to win them back over. And I just don't think we should have put him in that position.
I think it's nonsense.
But
I think for a young player of Barney's age, he needs to go out and play football.
I agree with you, but
The
why
higher level you can
Dunfermline?
play that
Why
football, the
Dunfermline?
higher. Well, what you don't know. There's no other options on the table. Dunfermline had Zach Grudden out till December. If there's no other options on the table,
I didn't give a shit about
I
Dunfermline
would
or Zach
rather see
Grudden.
Barney going out and playing at Dunfermline and getting experience and come back to Falkirk a better player than sitting in on the bench and we're not even sitting on the
Guys,
bench
can
because
I
he's not
give
going to
my
get near the
take?
bench.
On you go, Richards. On you go,
Thanks.
sir.
I'm gonna sit somewhere in the middle just so that Falkirk Daft doesn't implode.
Oh, don't worry. It was the podcast was almost cancelled last night, Richard.
I agree with both of you to some extent. I agree with Ross. A couple of, I mean, what are we thinking? It's madness. And I know John's kind of distanced himself a wee bit from that decision. So I agree, it's a silly situation to put the boy in, and I can understand some Falkirk fans being upset about it. Like John says as well, we've put him out to a club who gets similar attendances where he's going to play more game time in front of those kind of crowds and get used to that. And I hate Dunfermline. Everybody hates Dunfermline.
Yeah.
But if that boy comes in as a success at Falkirk, great. But I actually genuinely think we've identified that he's maybe not good enough. And he'll probably never come back to Falkirk. And so we're right in that balancing act right in the middle where we go and see if he's good enough in front of these crowds. And if he is, then great. But we probably think he isn't. And that's kind of where I sit with.
on the fence, on the fence. Well, let us know your thoughts, please. Are you Team Ross or are you Team John? I suspect it's going to be Team Ross because from what I've seen online, everyone's jumping on this. But I honestly think Barney should go out there, and if he does score goals for him, comes back to Falkirk, a better player, I'm all for it. Absolutely all for it. So there you go. Right, okay, that is it for Falkirk Daft. Richard, thank you for being a great guest. Got to say before we go, and just might as well stay on for the end now, Richard. Thanks to our the football fans of training, the T8s, Ian and the boys. Get yourself down on a Wednesday between 8:30 and 9:30. Get involved in the games. Elite Academy and Legends level, they have it all down there. Great for your mental health. Great to make new pals. As I say, if you're sick and fed up of quite your current pals, i.e. Ross Wayne, you can go down and make new friends, the Falkirk football fans and training.
Just don't go down the same day, boys.
Make sure So get yourself down there as well, please. Join in the boys down there. It's all through the Falkirk Community Foundation, and they're having great times down there. Great bunch of lads. All the details are below in the links. Speak to Ian, Willie or Dougie, and they will love to have you along. Remember, we're back on Thursday with the big Rangers preview with none other than Shellsuit Bob himself, star of Panto and podcast. Stephen Purden will be on Falkirk Daft. And remember, the tickets for Falkirk Daft Live go on sale Friday, 9 o'clock. We're back in Behind the Wall on the 29th of November for our big Christmas party. Maybe we could get Santa to come along, Ross.
I think we should get fucking Barney Stewart along and he'll fucking smash you up. But yes, let's get Santa as well.
I'll shout out. We'll just bring Barney along, see, and we'll just see how we'll have a vote, live vote in the room.
Just get Barney in a Santa costume.
He takes the beard off.
Reveal, big reveal, absolutely 100%.
He's got a t-shirt on saying fuck the bars.
Listen, thank you very much for listening. If whenever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, you'll get us there. Subscribe, like the YouTube if you want to see our ugly mugs. There, that would be great. And you can still get merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk and obviously on Pints and Prints as well, so that'd be great. And if you want to sponsor the show, like an episode, we're here for it. We will take your money and we will promote your company. For example, if you were, I don't know, let's just think of a Falkirk business. What's a good restaurant in Falkirk, Richard? El Toro Gaucho. The Steakhouse. Very good. It got four stars out of five on Falkirk Daft, despite them bringing the wrong order. But yeah, if you are at a Toro Gaucho, steak's great, wine's great, lovely location in Falkirk, top premium restaurant. See, that's kind of stuff we would do if you were...
You've just done it for free, John.
Shit. Didn't think about that. There we go. But anyway, if your business wants to advertise in here, let us know. You can drop us a line. Get involved. John at falkirkdaft.com. .co.uk or Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk, and you can get us there and we'll promote your business for a measly fee. Well, measly. It'll be fine. We'll do a deal. Right, okay. On to Rangers. Back on here on Thursday. Me and Ross are waiting to batter each other over Barney Stewart now. But until that time, when Ross comes back in blue, back here, back in blue on Thursday, what do we say?
Expect early, expect money.
Money burns. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. Are Falkirk Daft.